You watch for young men like him that are coming up in your state or in New England that I don't give a damn what party they belong to. I'm not trying to build a Bobby Kennedy organization. I'm just trying to be a good president, and that's all I want to do, and I need all the help I can get.
That's what I want you to do, but you've got an awful shortage of talent.
Yes, we have.
A horrible shortage, and it's all over the world, too, I noticed.
You look over your country, and when you get a good one, call Jack Valenti down my office, or Bill Moyers, or some of them that are your friends, and just tell them to look this fellow over, and we'll try to bring in some men like this to run this government.
Yeah, well, we need them all right.
Thank you, George.
But Stan will be all right, I'm sure.
Enjoyed seeing you last night.
Well, I'm glad to see you. I wore your tie, I wore your cufflinks, I wore your tight glasses. And everything but your life.
Oh, God.
There wasn't much chance to exhibit them.
Well, that's right. Say, how did McNamara do yesterday?
Say, he did pretty well. You know, you're getting the policy now delineated so it people can understand it. And as long as you stick to present policy, I think you're going to have a pretty steady improvement with the public. Mm-hmm. And that's with the limitations. And McNamara did all right, I thought.
Well, I gathered that's what you thought from the comment, and I sure thought so. And they have pictured McNamara as being a big, fat president of Ford, kind of a national manufacturer's type, and he's not. He was a scholar and a student of foreign relations at Harvard in California, and the day he was elected President of Ford, they offered him this job here, so he didn't really ever serve as President of Ford, he'd just been elected to it, but they told him, Kennedy told him, that he wanted a man that could come in and take charge of the Pentagon and could run the generals. And he has done that, and he's done it well, or whatever else they say about him. I didn't appoint him. He's Kennedy's man. But he is not a militarist, George. He's not even as much as Rusk.
Yeah. I noticed that, too. You would think he would be, but he's not.
No, he fights him.
He fights him, George.
Now, our great danger, as I see it, when the committee started hearings, the polls showed that the Doves had about 10%, and the Hawks had between 20 and 30, and the moderate course that I've been following had about 60, 63. During the hearings with Gavin and with Kennan, we dropped 14 points from 63 to 49, and the Doves didn't pick up one. All 14 went to the Hawks. And the people want to do more than's being done. Now, I told McNamara, that's where our danger is. Our danger is not on America wanting to pull out, because she never does want to do something like that. She never has. But our danger is some of these Stennis speeches and Thurman and those boys, America getting worked up, and the veterans and the generals, if they ever get out of control of McNamara. That's where my danger is, and that's what I worry about. And that's why I need people like you to listen to fellas like McNamara and try to, you know, get our good friends like John and Thurman and the rest of them and get all stirred up and want to bomb everything right quick. Say, now, just wait a minute, fellas. Let's take this thing slow.
Some of them are very anxious to go into Cambodia. I don't know who's pushing them, but Cambodia is one country where I bet you could go and get a hell of a good welcome, even if we don't have any relations with them. And as for extending it, that, of course, is what most of the tour has been about. Fear of escalation, even into China or even into Russia. And now I think that McNamara yesterday helped, of course, it wasn't public, in delineating or circumscribing our objectives. And making them understandable, I think there's going to be a pickup in public support.
Well, you helped, and your group was unanimous, I noticed the day before on the Morse thing, and I told President Eisenhower, that they gave me hell, some of the boys did, Adlai Stevenson's group. Yeah. You remember they jumped on me and Rayburn about how we supported Eisenhower and his foreign policy. And
yeah.
I told President Eisenhower that you all had paid me back with double interest for all I did to try to help my country when he was president, that you all voted unanimous the other day, and I sure appreciate it.
Well, of course you're on now. I think we'll work out in time. But it will take time. You've got education over there, the young people. Probably take 10 years. But maybe there can be a waning, a tapering off start.
Lodge thinks.
Too long. I don't know about that.
Lodge sent me a cable yesterday that he and Westmoreland and them, they're meeting out in the Pacific in Manila with the chiefs of missions this week. And Lodge says that his speech is going to be that if we keep a steady course without gung-ho in it, that he believes that the attrition that's cost them now, they've had 30,000 casualties the first 2 months, and now they're running, and you can keep finding them hardly, that he believes that the course we've fallen is the course that's least likely to promote escalation. He thinks if we folded and gave the mad dog a piece of red meat, that it would go right quick to Thailand, Cambodia, and everything. But we holding them as we are, and that we have relatively few losses. We've had 2,300, and we killed 100,000 in accidents in the United States. So we killed 50 times as many by accident this year as we've lost in 5 years out there.
Yeah.
But if we can hold that and continue to press and keep them away from our main installations, he thinks that it will cause them to stop, look, and listen and sober up a little bit. And he thinks that if we followed any other course, either going gung-ho or pulling out, that we'd have an escalation that would greatly be increased over what we're doing now.
I think he's right.
And that's what he said in a long cable. And George, he says, too, that we ought to finish our hearings, that it's not helping us with our 101st Cavalry boys. He says they look upon a lot of these things as criticizing them. He said he spent a couple of days up there with them, and they have read some of the statements, the wild ones that Morse has made, and that they think that the committee is trying to run the war, and that Morse is criticizing what we're doing, and that it sure doesn't help us any of the morale, so you better try to taper some of those wild ones down a little bit.
I do, but about all we can do is to take pains not to speak when they do, or even on the same day. You know,
well, I guess that's right.
We kind of avoid
I guess that's
getting
right.
involved with them.
Or maybe try to have on these ticklish subjects, try to get some of them in executive where you don't have all the cameras where all the agents. Now, the Soviet boys and the Chinese boys are very active around here. I have to look and see what they do every night. Uh-huh. And they're talking to a good many of our boys, George.
Oh, hell, Russia could... put this thing in the proper perspective, if she would, if she'd sent to join England in calling a Geneva conference.
She's
and
afraid to.
And then see who would go and who wouldn't go.
That's right. She's afraid to, though, George. She,
you think that?
Yes. Yes, oh, she is. She Kosygin told Shastri the day before Shastri died, and Shastri wrote me. He told him that he was trying to help, but he's just so far he can go. And he had Shalepin over there for the purpose, but they were so hard, just like you're trying to sell Wayne Morse.
Yeah.
You tell me, Lennon, I'll try to help you with Wayne Morse, and then you go try, and you can't get anywhere, so you don't go out and make a public announcement.
Yeah.
And that's what Shalepin did at Moscow.
Yeah.
And they're the ones promoted the pause, the Soviet. They told us if I'd take 12 to 20 days that and not drop any bombs, that they'd try to work something out to get a conference. We thought maybe they and the prime minister could do it. And so we stopped it, but they went and they ran into a hard wall, brick wall, and they can't do it. But they're promoting right here now. They're hollering sick 'em a little bit to the forces around town, and we got to kind of watch them a little into our business.
Well, Well, of course, the Chinese are putting out so much false propaganda, and it's surprising how many people swallow it.
And one of your...
I like hell.
One of your top senators is visiting with them pretty regularly with one of the Chinese communist people here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's very worked up about this thing.
Well, I don't believe a damn word that comes out of people.
No. But they're trying to keep us divided. And you keep your hand on the throttle, Jordan.
And they've been trying to keep Cambodia stirred up. But I think Cambodia is leaning our way now. They don't want us to lose in South Vietnam, if I understood them correctly. Not that they said so in so many words, but I got the impression.
George, why do they let all these people operate from over there?
I don't know how many they do. You know, we got an invitation the other day asking us to send some members of the Congress over there and go anywhere we wanted to and see for ourselves.
Well, now, George, maybe you ought to look at that. Maybe you ought to look at it. Let me get a group... You just look at that and let's talk about it.
Did you ever get a copy of that invitation?
No. But I'd like
about
to.
10 days ago, I think you have it.
I was impressed with Morse's report. I mean, with Mike's report though on Cambodia, and he talked to me about 3 hours about it. You get to look at that invitation. Let's talk about it in a week or so.
Honest to God, they gave us the best reception we got anywhere. 50,000 people turned out. There was not any insult, anything like it. Sihanouk said any American can come there any time they want to. I told Cabot, but I didn't advise him to go because we don't have relations. But he said, go down there and see for yourselves how much is coming into that port. And go anywhere you want to. And he was very much in earnest. But we had an ambassador once that belittled him. 2 years ago. But I think now that he does lean our way and is scared as hell of the Chinese. But that's that. I can't swear to any of this. All I know is my impression I got of him.
Well, I want you to look up that invitation, see what he says, and let's talk about it.
How about sending a copy down to Jack?
I wish you would.
He'll see you get it.
That's good. Thank you, George.
All right.